Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
Welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and now Steve Jordahl.
Yo!
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good. You know, you got some fans on Facebook.
Now, really?
I haven't checked today.
Hey, fans.
What the comments are. But usually when you come on, there's all kinds of comments about, hey, Steve loves
Steve. I bet there's comments. Oh, good.
No, no, you got fans. It's my first time checking the comments today. But
hello, friends.
Fan club.
It's good to have you on board.
Yes.
If you have anything you want me to push or sell, just send me a copy and a sample, and I'll be glad to do it.
Or I'm here to announce today I'm running for president.
That's right. I'm here to announce I have found classified documents in my shoe closet.
At least it wasn't out by the road.
That's though, right.
It's not like it was. All right, Steve, get us started with the news of the day for your segment.
Well, I've been watching TV. That's what I do. You think I work around here, but no.
I did think you worked up until now.
C-SPAN had the Senate Health Committee is in session, and they are grilling the CEO of Moderna. His name is Stéphane Bancel. And Rand Paul had a shot at him. And Rand Paul is asking him here in this clip about the Moderna and the increase of heart issues.
Mm. Because of the vaccine.
Because of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And, just listen to this. This has got 13.
Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease?
That is my understanding, sir.
That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you say. I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is quite disturbing.
And it got better from there, but it was longer. So
wow.
Oops.
So why is Moderna? Why is Moderna before the Senate committee?
Well, it's a Senate Health Committee, and they're looking into the pandemic and its responses and the vaccines.
I'm surprised that the Democratic Party is allowing that to go forward.
Well, you know, they still are concerned about they want to see the pandemic go on as long as possible. So, and there's questions about whether you need to take the 9th or 10th booster
or whatever it is.
Wow. So Democrats are all over, you know, tell us why we need to do this. Tell us that it's still a danger and everything.
Okay. All right. But, I didn't know about
it's not a House committee. You would expect that in the House.
Yes.
Yeah, but not the Senate. Good point.
Well, it also points to the fact, I think what they're trying to do, the American people aren't buying the lines that came out 2 years ago.
Right.
About shots and boosters. They're just not doing it. I think one of the latest figures I saw, about 16% of the American public have boosted twice or three times. So it's very, very low.
Yeah.
So the American people now have a whole lot more knowledge than they did when the big scare started back there a couple of years ago. But thank God for people like Dr. Rand Paul.
Yes. Medical Dr. Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Not a doctorate of theology from Finland.
No.
But Greta Thunberg.
Yes, but this Moderna official, someone should have briefed him that on this committee is Dr. Rand Paul.
Because he just walked into that.
Let me show you a video of what he did to Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Yeah.
Now, when you tell him something, you better have it down, pal.
Yeah.
Because he just got scorched, this guy from Moderna.
Right.
He got totally scorched because the information has been out there. The news stories about this, about the possible impact, in particularly among healthy young men. Some of the vaccines have had this side effect. And for him to sit there and say, actually, it's less after you take the vaccine. That just opened the door for Dr. Rand Paul.
Oh,
he was lying. He was lying in wait.
Yeah.
That.
6 peer-reviewed studies that show exactly the opposite. And then to put the icing on the cake, by the way, your boss admitted what I'm saying last week.
But so, privately.
Yes.
Privately.
Well, yeah. So the headline I'm reading right now, this is on Citizen Free Press, and it's a reporter, I think her name, she's a reporter named Grace Chang. Anyway, she's reporting, and this is the headline of the story. 450 million doses of COVID vaccine have been trashed in Europe because no one wants them. No one wants the jab anymore.
And they've gone out of date or something?
They've expired.
Yeah.
Huh. 450 million?
Million doses. Yes.
Well, Europe was one of those places, at least a couple of different countries, that were the first to say no one under 30, no males under 30 should be taking.
Paul brought that up, too.
Huh?
Rand Paul brought that
up. He did.
Yeah, to this guy. Mm. Oh, yeah. It's quite the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, listen, to your point, Fred, if you walk into a Senate hearing and Rand Paul is on it, you better have your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
At least on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else you got?
All right. Let's go to Texas. There is West Texas A&M University was holding a drag show, as colleges are wont to do nowadays. And it's called A Fool's Drag Race. It was going to be on March 31st. Well, the president, his name is Walter Wendell, stepped in, sent an email to everybody saying, we're canceling the drag show. Why? Because it diminishes and demeans women. This is what he said. Does a drag show preserve a single thread of human dignity? I think not. As a performance of exaggerated aspects of womanhood, sexuality, femininity, gender, drag shows stereotype women in cartoon-like extremes for the amusement of others and discriminate against womanhood. Any event that diminishes an individual or group through representation is wrong. He also said it's akin to blackface.
Now, explain just... Most people probably know what that is.
Blackface.
But for those who don't, what is blackface?
Blackface is when a white person puts makeup on to look like they're black, like Joy Behar did one at the
right. That's right. And they used to do it a lot.
Oh, it used to be minstrel show stuff. It's very demeaning because
and it was meant to mock the speech
Uncle Tom type stuff.
Yeah, yeah. To mock black people. And this president of this, what's the name of the college again?
West Texas A&M University.
This is actually a really good argument that he's making.
Sure.
Because that is what drag does.
Sure.
It does mock women by caricaturing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't speak for the black community whether they think that's going overboard comparing it to blackface, but it really is the same intent.
Yes.
Is that you're mocking women.
Mm-hmm.
And so going forward for people who want an out, quote unquote, to get out of having a drag show come to your local library or something, that's a great explanation.
Demeaning women.
It's caricaturing them.
Yeah.
And we are not going to pretend like women are second-class citizens. You can get away with that argument.
Yeah.
Because it's appealing to woke sensibilities. That's the irony of it.
Yes.
It's appealing to woke sensitivities in order to avoid this other area of wokeness. And at the same time, you protect children.
Either it's going to get you off free or else grab a bag of popcorn and watch the left fight with the left. Watch the gay community fight with the trans community.
Well, I'm hey, listen.
May the least manly win.
I don't need many excuses to eat popcorn.
Yeah, well.
And that's... and.
One more.
For a fight like that, I'd do it.
One more. So we're hearing from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, speaking of the homosexual community. They released a report on Tuesday that said that due to an alarming number, in quotes, of LGBT-fronted shows ending, nearly 30% of homosexual characters will likely disappear this next television season. They are very alarmed at that. They found a total of 596 characters that were featured in scripted TV shows in 2022-23. A report noted 175 of these characters, about 29% of them, are not returning. A lot of them are on shows that are canceled. A lot of them are just recurring side dramas that aren't relevant anymore. But they said in a recent years, GLAAD says, alarming number of LGBT-fronted shows have ended. Why would that be, I ask myself, and you? No one wants to watch that.
Yes, and it's a case, money talks and money walks.
That's right.
That's what happens. You know, people are just, they don't want to see two men in a embrace and other things.
Unless you're gay.
Yeah.
But straight people don't.
Okay, watch it. So the homosexual community in America, what is it, at 2%?
Well, 2 to 3% usually.
Okay, so you may appeal to 2 or 3%. Well, I'm sure advertisers look at numbers of people watching programs.
Right.
And if that number is low, I'm not buying time on that particular program. So your money disappears. At the end of the day, the producers and the people who run the studios in Hollywood, it's about money.
Yeah.
It's about money. And if the money walks away, then we don't want any part of this show. That's the bottom line. And America is still overall, when it comes to these kinds of values, particularly as Americans get older and they have kids and what they want their kids exposed to, they're going to say, no, we're not going to be watching this junk on TV.
Right.
And so that's what happens. And I honestly believe when they make these decisions, if they had big audiences and they could sell time, they would stick with these shows.
They would.
Well, and the thing is, when this first started in the late 90s with the major networks, this is before we got a bunch of cable stations and satellite, all that kind of thing. What we found, and I know this because I used to write the articles about these issues for our magazine at the time, the AFA Journal. What we found is, first of all, the argument that was put forward by the networks was for these gay characters, which GLAAD, the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, applauded. Their explanation was, their justification was, we're just trying to reflect the diversity of the American population. There are gay people who exist, so we'll have gay people on our shows. All right. Well, no, it was a specious argument because 85% of people were Christians, but you didn't have a lot of Christians on your programs. If you did have a Christian, it was usually a loudmouth hypocrite.
Yeah.
Okay. So you weren't really trying to reflect the population of the United States. But here's what we found, and here's what I found when I would write stories about this. If you had and I'm thinking in terms of Ellen.
Yes.
The show that Ellen DeGeneres had, and I'll never forget, on April 30th, 1997, her big coming out episode, okay, drew huge numbers. But after that, it went in the tank.
Yeah.
Because her show was about Ellen being gay, lesbian, all the time.
Yeah.
And people didn't want to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found as I did research is that if you have a popular program that appeals to the widest audience, people will watch it even if it has a homosexual character on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't going to watch a show that is about homosexuality.
Yes.
And that was the big difference. So in the case of these shows going off and GLAAD sounding the alarm, these shows may very well just not be very popular.
LGBTQ fronted shows. And for what it's worth, they didn't stop at 2 or 3 or 6% of characters. They wanted 80% of characters to be gay on TV.
Well, I'm just telling you, straight America will tolerate good shows that have interesting characters on who happen to be gay, but they don't want to watch gay shows.
Yep.
And folks, we use gay is shorthand for homosexual, because I don't want to keep saying homosexual on the show. But that just seems to be the fact. People want to watch programs that are interesting to them, and the sex lives of homosexuals are not interesting to the vast majority of heterosexuals.
I don't think the sex lives of anybody should be interesting.
Yes, good point. Good point. I don't care.
Okay.
So, all right.
All right, and speaking of battles within a specific group. We talked about the transgender versus the homosexual battle or the gay battle. Well, the left, the climate alarmists, are now going to be at battle, it seems, with the anti-nuclear people. Both these people on the left with energy concerns. So we've been hearing all about global warming and how it's going to destroy everything. Well, Oliver Stone, who is no conservative, and fully believes, as you will hear, in global warming, and that it is a huge threat, it's man-made, and if we don't stop it in the next 20 minutes, we're all going to die.
Right.
Well, I want you to hear his solution now for this problem.
Oliver Stone, the movie producer.
Oliver Stone, director. Yes, he's the director that did JFK. He's always the conspiracy theory guy. So let's listen to Cut 11.
We may have come to a point in time when Earth is asking us, Do you know what you're doing? Most of our power still comes from burning gas and coal, and the amount is going up, not down. If we do not cut carbon emissions by nearly 100%, the world will suffer serious damage. This is an even bigger problem than we thought.
The answer to solving climate change is very straightforward.
What's the best solution in your mind?
Largely nuclear.
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 The name of his new documentary is called Nuclear Now. I'm grabbing some popcorn. I don't know about you.
Well, because this is gonna trigger a lot of the climate people. Listen, Fred, the reason why I have no doubt that what Oliver Stone is saying about the use of fossil fuels going up is probably correct. It's certainly going up in places like India and China. If Africa is going to have widespread industrialization, they're going to have to use fossil fuels. And the usage of them is going to go up. And the reason it's going to go up is because it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's available. It's cheap. And when you're trying to industrialize, you need good, cheap, plentiful energy in order to do that.
Yes.
And nuclear provides that.
Yes.
Without any carbon footprint.
Do you know how much plant food, plants that provide us oxygen, plant food you're putting in the air every year? A lot of plant food out there.
I don't.
Well, tons, they say. Yeah,
right.
Because carbon.
Yeah.
It's plant food.
It's plant food.
It's plant food that they're worried about.
Yeah. So I expect, here's the thing. Fossil fuels are cheaper right now than the renewable, electric, wind, solar, all that kind of stuff. And until you have a replacement, which nuclear can be. France has, it's a very high percentage of their energy consumption is from nuclear power plants.
Yes.
So until you can replace those fossil fuels, you are going to have to go to nuclear.
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, you cannot build enough windmills and solar panels to meet the energy needs of a country like the United States of America.
Right.
You just can't. So you're going to have to, and if you're down on fossil fuels, you're going to have nuclear energy. That's all there is to it. And nuclear energy, despite the few accidents that there have been out there, Three Mile Island, we're talking about that Chernobyl, that sort of thing that people are. The reality is it works very well.
And it's pretty safe.
And
very
it's
safe.
Very safe. And probably improvements have been made since Three Mile Island.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to, and I don't think anybody is against increasing efficiency.
Yes.
All right. And so that's the direction to go. You're not going to have the opposition that, you know, people are now saying, you know, no fossil fuels, go to solar panels, go to windmills. No, that's not going to work. It simply is not going to work. There are a few desperate attempts right now, believe it or not, to produce airplanes with electric engines.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think I want to board an airplane with an electric engine.
Right.
And here's why. Sooner or later, that battery is going to wear out.
Yeah.
And I don't care where the needle is, you know, where it's getting down to the bottom. Plus the time that it takes. I've said this about, your electric cars. I watch them. There's a place in our hometown here where you can go and get your car charged up. And they're sitting there, and people are reading magazines, and because it takes 30 minutes to 40 minutes to recharge that. Can you imagine if you were using your electric car to travel from here 1,000 miles out west and how many times you have to stop if you can find the places?
Right.
Now, I know our transportation minister, Buttigieg, is trying to do something about that.
Well, and listen, that's fine. If that becomes widely available and efficient and all those things, okay. But that's years down the road.
Yes.
I read an article over the weekend that said that one of the problems they're having with electric vehicles is when you get in a car wreck, even a minor car wreck can damage the battery.
Yes.
And these insurance companies are totaling it out.
Yes.
Rather than trying to replace the battery because the battery is so expensive.
Yes.
It's more than just getting the trunk replaced. If you get rear-ended, you damage that battery, they're looking at whatever it is, $7,000-$10,000.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, we're just going to write off the whole car. And there are actual lots filling up with cars that have been written off by the insurance company, and they got low mileage.
Yes.
But there's nothing that can be done. So all I'm saying is, look, let the market drive the improvements in battery technology. It's great. People who have these cars, hybrids and whatnot, they like it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can solve some of these problems for long trips or whatever. But that's not going to do anything for the long haul. You're going to have something like nuclear.
Yeah,
I'm okay with. I'll let them try electric planes as long as the parachutes are gas powered.
Gas powered parachutes.
So I'm Saturday Night Live had a skit on. I pulled it up on. You can't hear it, but it's of the new Mercedes-Benz AA. Which runs on 10,000 AA batteries. You show them every so often you have to replace a battery.
That's a pretty good skit.
It's top mile of 52. And they have if you need to replace them all, they have an eject button.
Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's do this. I know what President Biden is going to do when he retires, if he retires this next election, 24, or if he gets another term after he's out. He is going to become the United States Poet Laureate because he is so in love and in good at poetry. Listen to this. This is him the other day reading some poetry. Cut 12.
Richard Blanco returned to a poem he wrote from the second inaugural of Barack and Me, a poem one today. It says, "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on let me start this over again. I'm getting so intimidated by being here. "And always one moon like a silent drum tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country, county, all of us facing the stars. Hope, a new constellation, waiting for us to map it, waiting for us to name it together."
I'm still unsure if it's country or county. I don't know.
Hope, I was thinking, well, I hope you can finish this.
Yeah, it's unlikely. If I bring it in here, it's probably not going to end well. I'm just saying.
Well, we do have, at some point, we did, Brent Creeley, our producer, did have a mashup. But we're going to have to wait because it's about 2 minutes. We've got President Biden, we have Vice President Kamala Harris, and I think Karine Jean-Pierre with some of their best, greatest hits.
Oh, man.
We will play that.
I can't wait.
And have a good laugh. But anyway, folks, before we let you go, because we're coming up to the end of the program, I do want to remind you that we do have a Spring Share-a-thon approaching. It's right around the corner, and that means we're looking for listener stories. I talked about this earlier in the program. We're gathering stories now to play during our Spring Share-a-thon. We'd like to hear from you. Here's what we're asking. We'd like to hear your AFR story. Has the Lord used American Family Radio in your life? Please share your story. The way you can do that is to call and share for a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. Our listener story line is 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893. We would love to hear from you. It could be a blessing and encouragement to others. It would be certainly a blessing to us here at American Family Radio. That's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. More great programming directly ahead. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Lord willing, we'll see you right back here for more of Today's Issues.